what he's done. I love the Lord for what he's done for me. In my life he gave me home down in my soul. And he spoke to me when no one else could ever understand. I love the Lord for what he's done.
Done for me in my life, he gave me home down in my glory. I'd like to say a few words here. I know Brother York here, was it last Sunday, talking about the closets? You know, that was pretty good. But I know it's real in my heart, too. I've always thought throughout my life, I never have got up much and never have spoke much. I don't know which pride, which I hope it's not, but I've always felt that get up and, you know, you people can see everybody's heart. You can see my heart. You can see my heart, whether it's true, whether it's white, whether it's black. You can see right through me. And I know that. But I never thought about having those closets. Now, I got some lean-tos back here also, you know. But that really touched my heart. He got and talked about it because it helped me to see myself. And, you know, I guess it is maybe part pride, but it's stuff that I know that if I expose myself too much, you can see right through me. And, you know, that's a scary feeling. But I know when y'all stand up, I can see right through y'all too. So it goes both ways, you know. But y'all know what I'm talking about. But I wanted to stand up and say I really, really enjoyed that message he gave us last Sunday. It was really good. We was gone this weekend, my wife and I. We've been praying for a long time about, you know, maybe starting a business. And I know in this economy it looks the way things look bad. And people think, well, you're starting a business now. Man, you must be crazy to quit a good job to start a business. But that's basically what I just did. I turned my resignation in, and we bought into a business. And here in about another week or so, I'll be unemployed, and we'll be having our own business. But we prayed about it and prayed about it. And we didn't pray that God give us this business. Oh, please, God, give us this. We, you know, it wasn't anything like that. Of course, I counseled many times with Brother Smith about it. But we prayed that, God, if you don't want us to do it, you stop us. You know, don't let us make this mistake. You put these roadblocks up. Don't let it happen. Please, God, if it's not your will, if it's not your perfect will, don't let it happen. Just stop it. And everything just gone so smooth. I mean, just not a hiccup anywhere. Let me see. I've been so busy these last couple of weeks, I'm kind of losing track of time here. But a couple of weeks ago, I was wanting my wife to go to the doctor, get physical, make sure nothing's wrong with her before we start this business, et cetera, you know. Anyway, she had the test done, and they didn't come out good. And they redid the test, and they didn't come out good again. So they did a biopsy on her. And I really was praying that she didn't have cancer. But the biopsy come back negative. And so I thought that might have been a roadblock, but that come back negative, and, you know, to me that it was all just God just cleared it up, you know. And whether she had cancer and God took care of it or she never did have cancer, I don't know, but I just praise God that she didn't have it. And I feel for people who have diseases like that. I know my mother's gone through cancer twice. My father's had Agent Orange cancer. He had his colon removed, and this is a true story. And I was there when it happened, so I know it happened. And he had a tumor on this side of him, a big one, and they was fixing to operate on him. And I don't know if they did biopsies or not, but I know they said it was cancerous, and they did the ultrasound. They sent it over here, and I know y'all people prayed for him. This is several years ago. But they was fixing to do surgery, and the doctor said, well, let's do another ultrasound so I can find out exactly where it's at. They could feel it in there with a hand. So they took him to the ultrasound room. They did an ultrasound room. They couldn't find it. He was ready for surgery, out in the hallway, fixing to go in, and it just disappeared. You know, so I've seen healings like that before, and I know they happen. Remember one time my mother was here several years ago when I first started coming to church here, she had kidney cancer, and I think I've told some of y'all this. But anyway, she went down for prayer. They didn't give her no hope. She went down for prayer. She was scared. She wasn't in church, been out of church for years and years and years. And she went down for prayer, and my niece was, I guess she was about 12 years old. She had real bad eyesight. And she went down there, and the ministry prayed for him. And the next day, I don't know how long it was, but my mother went back to the doctor to have a kidney removed and start treatments. And the cancer has shrunk down to the size of a marble. And they just clipped it off, and no chemo, no nothing. But that's great. But what really touched me, my niece was down there during that time, and she got a headache, a bad headache. And she went home, and she took her glasses off, and she had perfect eyesight. And I actually seen that happen. And to this day, she doesn't wear glasses. I don't know why she doesn't come to church. But she has perfect glasses. But I guess what I'm trying to get at is whether my wife had cancer and God healed her, or she never had cancer, I want to give God the glory. And I know when people have cancer, you have that feeling toward them, but when it strikes close to home to somebody you love, like your wife, your husband, that's when it really strikes home. And you really get down to prayer at that time. You know, but anyway, I appreciate y'all. I appreciate y'all taking me in 25 years ago and trying to clean me up and teach me the right things. So thank y'all.
I tell you, for me, his love, his mercy, and his kindness, it's always been amazing to me. Yes. And I heard Brother Liniger say one time that it's not just enough to love God, but you've got to be in love with him. Put a mark in my book. I want to fall in love with Jesus. He's done so much for me. I can't help but love him. And I'm not just talking about just the other day or last month. But you know, in meditating, you look back over your life, and I can see the places. As I read my Bible the other night about the parable of the sower, and when I look at it real close, I see scriptures that fit my life at one time that I could have been gone. I could have been wayside soil. and that scares me. But when I think of the hand of God, that he kept me, and I'm still here. I'm still here, endeavoring to hold on to his love. Questions from east to west runs through my mind. Why did he love me so? You got yours figured out yet? When you do, let me know. Let me know. Because I can't tell you. I don't have it figured out yet. And I treasure his compassion that he had on me. He didn't have to, but he called me.
Yeah.
I could have stayed out there, Sister Bryant, among all them other junkies. One day I heard something that those guys didn't hear. They're still out there. And when I came this way, the folks that I thought was my friend, man, Dub losing his mind, man. Yeah, Dub and Sylvia just losing their mind. They going to some little church out here on the hill, man. Dude's different. But I found something. Brother Smith, I didn't know anything about doctrine, the Word of God, and the Bible. It was something about the love of this people in this church that held me here. And I was waiting on it to not be genuine. This can't be real. This cannot be real. People don't love us like this. Care for us. Brother Tucker, come to my home and sit down and talk to me. While Sister Tucker sat out in the car in the cold, cranking the motor up every now and then to help my wife and I. We were in bad shape. We needed help. We really needed help. My wife was about to divorce me and my drugs too. But God, I was just thanking him the other night. I said, Lord, she's gone now. But you saved our marriage. You saved me. You kept your hand on me. I see the times I could have left here and said, no, this is not for me. But I felt like I was in a pair of handcuffs. And I'm still here. I'm still holding on to God's wonderful love. And when I read the Bible, you know, I search for things that tells me. It's a love letter, isn't it? Yeah, it is. It's a love letter to the church. And that's the way I read it. I read a lot about his compassion and his mercies. I believe it's in Lamentations. It talks about his mercies. Anytime now we could be consumed, but it's his mercies that keeps us. So God loves us. And I don't ever want to be without his love and care. When I wake up in the morning, I appreciate my policy. You know that? We have a policy with the Lord. Yes, we do. Of his wonderful benefits, his wonderful love and care. Yeah, read your owner's manual. You're in doubt about something? Go to the Word of God. It's there. You got a hookup? Yeah, why, sure you do. It fills my heart, thrills my soul tonight. I was reading the other night over in, it was this morning, Brother Smith, as I was listening to you read over in Deuteronomy about God brought his people out and let them wander in the wilderness just to see what they were going to do, see what they were made of. Later on, over in about the 16th chapter, he was telling them, he said, listen, I didn't deal with your lives because you were great in number or because you were a goodly people. He said, but I did those things because I loved you. Aren't you glad that God showed his love towards you? And then we've got some other places. We've got some valleys to go through and some mountains to go over. This race is not over with yet. But let's hang on. Let's hang on to the love of God. I thought if I could ever attain to the place where Paul said nothing, nothing, no crisis, nothing shall ever separate me from the love of God. Where would we go? Where would we go? I appreciate the love of God and how God's ministry has helped me. I went to a service here a couple of nights ago, visit with some people, see what they were doing. And I said, Lord, I'm thankful that you touched my life. I have never experienced other churches like I experienced the other night. The people, they showed their love toward me. But they prophesied all over me things that I have never heard of before. Wait a minute, preacher. No, God hadn't called me to do all of that. And yeah, I say unto him, whoa, no, please. No, that's not me, man. I said, I'm a thinker. And I like to hear from God. He didn't hear me. No, I'm telling you, God has called you to do this. Whoa. Just think of where I could have been. But I'm glad that I held on to his love. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I'm glad tonight because of his love. I'm the only one going this way now. But I'm not going to let anything disturb me in my salvation tonight. It's your testimonies that I heard that kept me here. It's your sincerity. When I walked through those doors, the first service I was in, I didn't know what God was saying. I was so scared. If I could have found a way out of that place, I would have. But the Lord spoke to me and said, sincere. A little while later, he told me what he was saying. I brought you to a sincere people. Had you not been sincere people, devoted people and loving God, I probably wouldn't be here tonight. I probably wouldn't be here tonight, but I found a sincerity in Brother Tucker and Sister Tucker. They loved me and Sylvia, fed us with, baby spoons, put us in the high chair till we could grow up and walk on our own. I didn't know how to walk with God, but this people taught me. I didn't know how to love God, didn't know how to read God's word, didn't know how to pray. Brother Smith, I was telling the church Wednesday night that I got my start in loving God, in faithfulness, and in prayer and fasting through Brother Whitlow. I let that man's words get into my heart. And it's been beneficial to hold on to those things too. I'm talking about a love. You come home from work and your wife got your dinner all ready for you, and he said, Annie, I must go and be with my lover. What an experience to go and be along with God. He's our creator, isn't he? There are times when I think, man, these trials are tough. But I know that God will see me through. I hear testimonies here of what you're going through. A month later, I wonder, what happened? Did God do anything for you? Did God come to your rescue? You're still hanging around here. This is the greatest support system I've ever been in. You know, most junkies, they have to go to seminars and support groups to get help. But when God delivered me, he fixed me up like he did the man that was up in the cave, sitting in his right mind. I'm glad he did that for me. When I hear the healings of God and what he has done for his people, hey, I can testify to that too. God's healed me. I had a tumor on the brain. A few years later, I saw a young man that had the same condition I had. But he had been through surgery. He had been on medication, prednisone. I mean, it got him to where I didn't hardly recognize him. Had bandages on his head, cut all his hair off. Then he asked me, he said, will you pray for me, Brother Bill? We in the Goodwill store, and I just laid hands on him and began to pray. So God's been good to me. God's been merciful to me. But I want to continue falling in love with Jesus. The most wonderful thing that ever happened to me is when he called me this way, laid his hands on my life. I appreciate God tonight.
Brother Whitlow, he touched us all with the message of prayer. Remember that little poem he used to quote? He said, I met with God this morning. His presence came like sunrise, like a glory it filled my breast. All day long, his presence lingered. All day long, he walked with me as I walked a very troubled sea. So he said, I think I know the, secret of many a troubled wave. You must seek the Lord in the morning if you want him throughout the day. Hallelujah. He used to quote that poem. You remember him used to do that? Hallelujah. Well, now I'm not a rich man. Ain't no diamonds to bring. See, I'm not one for saying I can do anything. For I'm nothing, nothing but no one. I'm one more grain of sand. Except I. Room full of empty, there you're helpless. Tumor on his brain. Brother Francisco's got a tumor
Jesus.
He needs God's touch. He needs God's healing on his life. He got a brain tumor. He don't know if it's malignant or not, but he needs God to touch him tonight. Let's pray for him. Oh, hallelujah.
Wait for the touch of the Master.
steps would falter to I'd have come to stand, except for the touch of the Master's strong hand.
Oh,
I feel the touch of the Master's.
Hallelujah. Oh God, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Blessed be His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There's a place in the Bible that says if you don't praise Him, the rocks and the stones will cry out. And I'm certainly not wanting to leave my thanksgiving to my husband or anyone else. I do want to give the Lord a praise and a thanks for that touch, or that just His hand holding me or keeping me through that, or whatever you want to call it. You know, at some time or other, God is going to bring you through something similar to that, I think. And it does. It just causes you to really get down to bare bones, and you know, just really think about what's really important in your life, and you know where you are with God. And I'm thankful for that part of it. I really am thankful that He got my attention in that way and caused me to search my heart deeper than I have in a long time, and kind of reevaluate some things in my life, and I'm thankful for that, and thankful that He's brought me and all through it. That was kind of a really intense week and a half there. It just hit. I mean, it all went so fast, just test after test after test and going through there. And I just, I felt like my mind was reeling. And at first, the very first thing you think is, right, this is going to be nothing, you know. But every time, every step further that it went, and it was like four or five, you know, every one, you just, okay, you know, and just one more closer, and thinking, wow, it really could be something. I really could find myself in this position, in this place. And the last was Thursday afternoon, a week ago, and they had said that, because of the date and the timing, I probably wouldn't. Well, I was doing good Thursday night, Friday, Saturday. I kept pretty busy. But the closer it got by Sunday, waiting through Sunday and Sunday night, and I was like, okay, God, I don't know if I can stand this. Just waiting and waiting and waiting and not really knowing at that point, what I was going to hear, not really knowing. And that is a scary thought, but again, I'm so thankful that I have God. I'm so thankful that I had somewhere to turn, that I wasn't in a position where I would just feel hopeless, because I know the master of the wind. I know who's in control. I know who calms the storm. I know who's in charge. I know who's in control of all that. And that's a comfort. That is a comfort. I cannot imagine going through that last 2 weeks and not having God. Going through that and not knowing who's in control of it all. So I'm really thankful. And again, like my husband, we've prayed and prayed and prayed. And just coming from a woman's standpoint, my point of view, this is scary. But I've prayed with my husband, and I want him to know that I'm behind him and supporting him. And, I'm just asking God to help me not to get sidetracked with my, my woman's feelings and need for security. It's I'm tell you what, stepping out on faith, that takes a lot of faith, a lot of trust, And I keep going back and keep holding on to what I know, and knowing that he's a God who wants the best for his children, and he's a God who will take care of his children. And I know that. And we have prayed, and we've been honest, in our prayers to God and asking, for his will. And at this point, all I've ever known, all I know is to just follow. And I don't know where it's going to end up, but hopefully on down the road, we'll have an even greater, I know we will, however it goes, it's in God's hands. And that's a really good, safe place to be. And I'm thankful for that. Just appreciate all of you here, my family, and what God's doing.
Last week, and of course it was one of those interviews. They wanted to interview me, and so I really don't care about those things. I mean, I really don't have time to fool with a lot of stuff like that. But anyway, this lady, I said, well, now what's it all about? She said, well, I want to know what you think about the hospitals and how that they what good care that they give you. And she asked me lots of questions, and so I answer them to the best of my knowledge and give them a good report. And so we talked for quite a little bit, and I said, well, ma'am, I said, now you're taking this interview, and you've talked to me, and I have listened, and I have answered your question. I said, now what about you listen to me for a few minutes? She said, okay. So I told her, I said, how come this to come about? she asked me about my health and asked me how old I was. And I told her, I said, well, I just turned 86. And I said, I've got good health. And I said, what I want to tell you about, I said, about 7 years ago, and I thought about this dear brother that's got this condition, and I felt to give my testimony because I think that when the Lord does something for us, we ought to tell about it. And two, you'd be surprised. Maybe everybody don't have this feeling that I have, but something say, oh, well, they get tired of you telling it. And of course, I don't tell it too often, but if you do, sit down and rest a little while, and I'll tell it again sometime. So anyway, I began to tell her how that we was packed up and ready to go to Memphis, Tennessee for a convention for a day or two. We already had our reservations with some of the people there. And I told her, I said, never had we did it just like this before. We usually always just got ready and went on and had a sandwich down the road because they was going to feed at 5 o'clock that or 4 o'clock that afternoon. And I told her, I said, it just happened that I had a nice garden. I had nice tomatoes, and we had some corn dogs, and I love corn dogs. So I told my husband, I said, I'll just fix us a little lunch. And we never did that before. Usually we just jump in the car and go, because whenever there's somewhere to go, we're ready to go. I don't care if we are our age, we're ready to go. And just like coming to church, we quit our work early so we can get ready. We don't want to be late. And a lot of people tease us because that we get there early and all. But anyway, that's the way we do it. So anyway, I told her how that we had our little lunch and I was feeling just fine. And I said, all at once, I become nauseous. And I thought, hey, what's wrong with me? I can't get sick because we're fixing to go to Memphis to a meeting. And I was just thrilled to death. And I just got worse and worse. So finally, I just got up from the table, and I didn't say anything to my husband about how I felt. I just got up and went in the other room and sat down in my chair. But before I got to my chair, I felt like someone doubled up their fist and hit me in the back of the head. That's just the way it felt. And, of course, I mean, I've not had too many people hit me in the back of the head, but, I mean, I know it hurts. So, anyway, I hollered out at my husband. I said, oh, honey, something's happened to me. And my mind just went crazy. I mean, it was the most terrible feeling that you could ever experience. And anyway, I told him before I passed out, I said, call our daughter. So he called her, and, of course, she come, and I didn't know anything about it because I passed out completely. And so then she called the paramedics, and they come and taking care of me and put me in the ambulance and took me to the hospital. And That was at lunchtime, and of course that night they had to do surgery. But we got to the hospital, and of course I don't know how everybody. Well, I mean, I know they all got on the phone and called each other because I think just about all of our church was there, and of course they told me all this later. I didn't know what was going on because I was out, and so Brother Weininger asked them if they had a room that they could go pray, and they all went in and prayed. And there was people there that I never thought about them coming, but I heard who all was there, and they all prayed. And so that night, they didn't have to do the complete surgery that they usually do. They cut your skin here and peel it back and work on your brain. Well, they bored a little hole in my skull and let that blood out. And they said, well, they have to do the surgery that night because I wouldn't make it if they didn't. And so, anyway, they did the surgery. Well, I was in this critical care unit for 2 weeks. And the biggest part of the time, I did not know anything. I didn't know anything. They bathed me. They fed me. They come in to see me and everything. And I didn't know anything about it. And if I should come to myself just a little bit, now Brother Lindiger and Sister Lindiger come to see me. And I asked him to pray for me. This was after the surgery and everything. And I remember him putting his hand. Brother Lindiger was a working man, and he had rough hands. And he laid that big old rough hand up there on my forehead. Well, I don't even remember when he quit playing. I don't remember when they left. I would just come and go like that. So anyway, one day I was laying there, and all at once, just like I woke up from a good rest, And I knew everything. My mind was just as good as it is right now. I knew everything. I did, and I didn't stop to think, why am I in this place? I just didn't think about that. So anyway, I felt that someone was staring at me. And I thought, who is staring me? And I looked all around. I didn't see anybody. I guess they had taken care of me earlier, and nobody was staring around. I didn't see anybody. And I just felt someone looking at me. And so and I just laid there and was comfortable, and a sweetest voice said to me, said, you felt like someone was staring at you. Said, it's your guardian angel watching over you. And a white, something in white stood by my bedside. And the Spirit of the Lord come all over me from my head to my foot. Every time I tell this, I feel this. And everyone that I've told about, my doctors and all, they say, Miss Crow, I feel something, you know. And so anyway, I wanted to be so sure that that was real, because I don't want to tell anything that's not right. And so I thought, now look to myself. I thought, is this me thinking this, or is this really happening? I want to know. And I thought, I'm going to turn over for a few minutes, and just if that, when I turn back, if that's still there, I know this is real. So I did that, and I turned back, and what that beautiful thing was standing by my bed, most beautiful white that I had ever seen in my life. And I've sewed all of my life, ever since I've been, you know, age to sew. And I know material and all lack of that. But that was the most beautiful white that I ever seen. And the Spirit of the Lord come all over me. And so in a few minutes, it said again, said, everything is going to be all right. And that was the most sweetest voice. It was so kind and so loving. And I tell you what, I could have jumped out of that bed and took off. I just felt so good. And I began to say, Lord, I'm so unworthy of this. I'm so unworthy, but I so appreciate it. And you know, I got better, and my daughter talked to him to get me out of there and put me where I had a window where I could tell daylight from dark, which that helps you very much and all. But I just tell you, I just felt so good, and I just got better and better. And when they let